chapter number 5. And we'll begin our reading here in just a moment in verse number 9 as soon as I get my clock here situated. And we'll try to give you what I feel like the Lord has put upon our heart for this morning's service. Amen. Glad I'm saved. Amen. Glad Jesus passed by my way. And every doubt that Jesus cared about me and loved me was settled at Calvary on the cross. And I thank the Lord for that. Amen. I love my Bible, don't you? And I appreciate the truth of it. And I know we've been on T-bone steaks all week long, but bologna's good for you too. Amen. And so we'll try to give you what the Lord has put upon our heart today. And begin reading Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were the enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but with joy, also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses and a justification. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God today. Thank you, Lord, for the portion you direct our heart to. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your kindness in our life. And Father, we realize, Lord, our inabilities. Lord, we realize, Lord, we are nothing without you. And I pray now for the next few moments, God, that you would cleanse of sin. Lord, you empty us of self, fill us with thy spirit. Lord, help us not to ran or ramble or chase rabbits. But Lord, help us to preach the word of God and be faithful to the text. Lord, there's too much in this Bible for us to talk about anything else. So Lord, may we magnify your word today. Get glory to yourself. Help us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I say this about every chapter I study. I love Romans 5, amen. Just great doctrinal truth and great Bible knowledge. Last time we preached out of this chapter, we dealt with the fact, therefore, being justified by faith. And we went down to verses 1 through 8, and we talked about all those benefits that we have because we have been justified by faith. We have sweet peace in verse 1. We have a saintly privilege in verse 2. We have a spiritual perspective in verse 3 and 4. We have a seen passion in verse 5 and a sure pardon in verse 6, 7, and 8. And I thank God that I have all those things because I have been justified by faith. Not been justified by my good works or by my church membership, but I've been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know this, and this is probably about to use your Wednesday night crowd, and I'm not speaking down on that. You're Bible students, and you're faithful to church, so you know these things. But our Bible, every word in our Bible is important. I know you would agree with that. And there's a little two-word phrase mentioned 5 times in verses 9 through 21 that I want to use this morning as my thought and really as my title this morning. It's found in verse number 9, verse number 10, verse number 15, 17, and 21. If you're in the habit of marketing your Bible, you might want to mark these words. They are the little words, much more. Much more.
You see, I'm glad I don't have a God that just does the status quo. I'm glad God just don't go to the edge of what is required. But I'm glad He is the God of the much more. Amen. The compound definition of this word means greater or larger in quantity. If Jesus Christ had only died on the cross and kept us from going to hell, that would have been enough. But honey, I'll tell you, He has given us much more than that. Amen. In fact, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I got much more than I realized when I got saved. Amen. He is the God of the much more. Amen. I was reading this week, one writer said the work of Christ did more to restore than what Adam lost. I tell you, Adam had that fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden, and they walked with God in the cool of the day. And because of sin, we'll look at it in the text in a moment, but because of sin, man lost that fellowship and that relationship with God. But I am so glad that Jesus, when He went to Calvary, He just didn't put us back in that Garden Eden effect, but He gave us much more. May I remind you, Adam didn't have a Bible. Adam didn't have a church. Adam didn't have the Holy Ghost of God living on the inside of him. But we do today. You know why? Because we got a much more God. We have a God that does exceed and abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Thank God He's a much more God. What kind of much more God? Much more than your sin. Much more than your darkness. Much more than your depravity. Much more than hell. He's a much more God. Amen. Five times in these verses 9 through 21, you find that little two-word phrase, much more. I don't have 5 points, but I think I've got them listed under 3 headings. If you'll let me categorize those 5 under 3 categories, I believe it'll help us. First of all, I see in verse number 9, the much more of justification. Look what He says in verse number 9, please. He said, much more then. Being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, what is justification? Well, the definition of this is to declare or to pronounce one to be just or to be righteous. The remission of sin, the absolution from guilt and punishment, or an act of free grace by which God pardons the sinner and accepts him as righteous. May I remind you, in and of ourselves, the best we could do, Brother Caden, our righteousness is just filthy rags. We do not even become, Brother Steve, close to being just with God. We're not just with God based on who we are or what we've done. But I'll tell you, Jesus came that we might be justified. And thank God, He did not just give us back what Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. But amen, but Adam was not justified like you and I are today. Adam's in heaven, don't misunderstand me, but Adam did not enjoy what we're enjoying today. Amen. The much more of justification. Notice in the text quickly, I got to run through this quickly. There is the product. Watch what He said, much more then. What does that word then mean? Well, the word then refers back to verse number 8 that we preached about the other week. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, here's the then, Christ died for us. Paul said, much more then, since Christ died for us. Not God didn't just barely save me. Amen. Somebody said, I'm just doing enough to get by. God don't do just enough to get by. He's a much more God. Amen, amen, amen. It would be, hey, I'm 45 rabbits are running. I'm not going to run any of them. I'm telling you, much more then. Since He gave His life at Calvary and He rose again on the third day, it is a product much more than my salvation. And by the way, nobody's salvation should be based on church membership or water baptism or because of where they was born or the color of their skin, but it ought to be based upon what Jesus done at Calvary. It ought to be a much more than the fact that Christ died for us. Don't miss that little two-letter word, us, because that includes you, friend. Amen. Much more than the product, the present, being now justified. I'm not waiting to be justified. He said, much more now, right now, Amen. I'm telling you, when God saved me, He saved me from the penalty of sin, death. Every day I live, He is saving me from the power of sin. And that speaks of domination. But one day I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin when He delivers me in the rapture. Amen. I am saved. I'm not waiting to be saved. I have already been saved from the penalty of sin. And I am waiting for the rapture to call, where He's going to transform this body and this old flesh will be done away with. Thank God I'm saved this morning. I say this all the time, but I like it. Old Brother Dana Williams said, God was a saving you before He saved you. So He could get you to a point where He could save you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God was a saving you before He saved you. Many times you should have died and went to hell before you got saved. You should have been burning in hell tonight or this morning. But God was a saving you before He saved you, so He could get you to a point where He could save you. And then after He saves you, He don't stop saving you, but He saves for eternity. Amen. The present, the product, the process by His blood. Thank God for the blood of Christ this morning. Amen. Now, how are we justified? Well, here's what the Bible says. We're justified by grace in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Titus 3:7, therefore being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we're justified by His grace. What is grace? God's unmerited favor. I was listening to a preacher preach yesterday, and he gave this definition of the grace of God. He said God, he gives the idea of God stooping down where man's at and lifting him up out of where he is at. One preacher said, God, grace is anytime God looks towards my direction. I'd agree with that too, amen. So I'm justified by grace. But wait a minute. Romans 5:1, I'm justified by faith. That's what he says. Therefore, being justified by faith. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What is faith? Taking God at His word. So I'm justified by grace, and I'm justified by faith. But wait a minute, verse 9, I'm justified by His blood. That's what he says right here. Much more, being now justified by His blood. Oh, wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 6:11, I'm justified by the Spirit of God. He said, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. My goodness. I'm justified by grace, by faith, by His blood, by the Spirit of God. But Galatians 2 said, I've been justified by Jesus Christ. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. These are not working. Somebody said, well, is it by grace? Is it faith? Is it the blood? Is it the Spirit of God? Is it Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. It's all of them. They're not working against one another. It's all. You know what that really means? I am really, really, really justified. I am justified by grace, through faith, washed in the blood, the Spirit of God birthed me. Jesus paid it all. I'm justified. Amen. The process. There's the promise. We shall be saved from wrath. This wrath could refer to two things. It could refer to wrath in hell, judgment of God. It could refer to the wrath of the tribulation period, because Paul will use that word wrath in other epistles to describe the tribulation period. Either way, I'm good. I'm not going to hell, and I ain't going through the tribulation period, amen. You know what? I have been justified by grace, by faith, by His blood, by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ, amen. Hallelujah. Much more. But then it gets better. There's the product, the present, the process, the promise, the person, through Him. How am I justified by His blood and saved from wrath? Through Him. Not through a church. I know y'all, this is Sunday morning, I know y'all know this. Not through a church, not through a creed, not through religion, not through the baptistry waters, but through Him. If your salvation don't start like John 3:16 starts, you don't have biblical salvation. So I said, how does it start? For God. If God ain't your salvation, if you got to talk about mama or grandma or your preacher and all that stuff, and thank God for those people that might have led you to Christ, I'm not minimizing that by no means. But I tell you, grandma didn't have to be there. Nobody, but God had to be there, amen. And thank God He was in my case, amen. Adam was not justified like we was. Adam's in heaven, don't misunderstand me.
don't go off. But Adam didn't. Adam died before Calvary. Adam spent 2,000 years plus in paradise because there wasn't no blood in heaven. But honey, when I die, I got a much more. Because the blood's already been applied. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All these people said, I wish I could have been there in Bible days. Not me. You know, years ago they had that song, I wish I could have been there to see the thousands fed. Not me. I wish I could have seen Jesus walk on water. No thanks. I said, preacher, how do you say that? Because I have the Bible. And I got all those stories that they didn't know about. They didn't have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff then, or USA Today. They just experienced what they saw. But we have the full canon of Scriptures. We have the inspired, the inerrant, preserved Word of God. And honey, here's what Peter said. He said up there we have a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, he said we's up on Mount Transfiguration. He said, but if you had a choice of being up on that mountain or having the Word of God, take the Bible. Amen. It is a more sure word. You know why? Because we got a much more God. Amen. I had some people really criticize me, but this is the most blessed dispensation has ever been. You know why? Because we have the complete copy of the Word of God and the indwelling Spirit. Let you know something. Paul didn't have that. Paul had the indwelling Spirit, but you realize that the Gospel of John was the last book wrote in the Bible, and Paul never read it? Chew on that a minute. Paul never read Revelation. Revelation and John were the last two books penned in the canon of Scripture. But you've got it. I'm not down in Paul. Paul had a pretty good trip himself. What I'm saying is, though, we got a much more God. The much more of justification. I got to hurry. Number two, verse number 10. Don't worry, I ain't preaching each verse at a time. Amen. I'm going to clump several together right here. The much more not only of justification, the much more of reconciliation. Verse number 10. For if when we were the enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Uh-oh, here's our words. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The word reconciliation, we don't use that in our everyday language. Let me define it for you. It means to call back into union, a friendship, the affections which have been alienated, to restore friendship or favor, to make a consistent or to bring to an agreement. I love this definition. To settle a debt. We were reconciled to God. I notice, I'm going to run through this quickly, the past state in verse 10. For if when we were enemies, the word enemies means hatred, odious, hateful, hostile, hating, opposing one another. Let me in on something though. God didn't hate you. God didn't oppose you. That was all on our part. Because when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were against God, the past state, the penalty for sin. Verses 12, 13, and 14. You know these verses. Wherefore, is by one man sin entered the world. Death by sin. So death is passed upon all men for all of sin. The penalty for sin is death. We'll get to it in Romans chapter 6. For the wages of sin is what, church? Death is the wages of sin. And these verses, the law of sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. So, preacher, what does that mean? Men died from Adam to Moses because of Adam. There was no law. There was no thou shalt not then, right? The law was given by Moses, John chapter 1, verse 17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So men died because of Adam's sin from Adam to Moses. But from Moses on, they died because they broke God's law. Somebody said, preacher, explain that. It's just like we are. We're sinners by birth because of Adam. We're sinners by choice because of the law. God said, thou shalt, we don't. God says, thou shalt not, we do. So we're sinners by birth and by our choices that we make. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, sin was imputed upon all of us because of Adam. That teaches a practical lesson here too. Your sin will affect somebody else. Let me ask you a deep theological question. How many people were on the earth when Adam and Eve sinned? Two. One sin. There would be 385,000 babies born today, we learned in Sunday school. And they'll all suffer the results of Adam's sin. Your sin does affect somebody else. That's not the message, but I want to give application. We better be careful what we do, because it will have an effect on somebody else. Amen. If you don't believe that, ask Adam. Amen. The penalty for sin. The perfect sacrifice, verse 10. I love this. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How did God settle that debt? How did Jesus bring God and man back together? Man was at enmity with God. God was not at enmity with man. God always loved man. But we'd agree man didn't always love God. But I'm glad he never did stop loving man. So how did he reconcile us? By the death of his son. Being reconciled, we shall be saved from his life. Warren Wiersbe said, if God saved us while we were his enemies, surely he will keep on saving us now that we are his children. You think about that, honey. If God done that for us when we were his enemies, how much more is he going to take care of us now that we are his children? Amen. Watch this, though, the personal subjection. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The word atonement in this text, it doesn't just mean the blood that was shed, even though it does mean that, but it has a further definition. It means to exchange. It gives the idea of the atonement of trading. You got to receive the atonement. What Paul is saying here, he said, the world's not just saved because Jesus died. Now, the world can be saved because Jesus died. But watch this, and I don't see how people read this and don't think there's a choice in salvation. You have to receive the atonement. You have to receive the trade, if you allow it. That's a terrible word, but it makes sense to our minds. You have to receive the offer that God is offering us. What's he offering us? Our sin, his salvation. Our guilt, his grace. Our mistakes, his mercy. Our rags, his righteousness. Our faults, his faith. Our penalty, his pardon. Our cross, his crown. Our loss, his life. Our wickedness, his word. Our judgment, his justification. Our condemnation, his converting power. Amen. I'm glad I received the atonement. I'm glad I received the change. But Adam was never reconciled to God like you and I are. I said, preacher, how do you know that? Preacher, how can you say we got it better than Adam? Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Yes, he did. But we don't walk with God, but God walks in us. Oh, I wish you'd get a hold of that. Your body, friend, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Adam never had that. You know why we have that? Because he's a much more. Much more. By the way, I'm preaching on, if you ain't figured it out, much more. Amen. And I ain't going to preach much more, all right? Number three, and I'm done. The much more of justification. The much more of reconciliation. I know they ain't alliterated, but they rhyme, all right? The much more of acceptation. Acceptation. It's a Bible word. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. 1 Timothy 1:15. I didn't make it up, all right? What does it mean? It gives the idea of being accepted. Favor. Here's the word. Grace. Notice in verse 15 through 19, there's global condemnation. I ain't going to read all the verses for sake of time, but he goes through all these and over again. And you take time. Another little phrase for you Bible students mentioned over and over in Romans 5 is one man. One man. One man. One man sin into the world by one man's offense. We've already emphasized the point that sin has an effect on others, not just on us. Global condemnation. How does one become a sinner? Be born. Congratulations. As sweet, if you've not seen the bulletin of little Natalie, you need to see that. As sweet as that baby girl looks, you know what she is? She's a sinner. She's protected under grace right now because she's not reached the age of accountability. We all believe that. But that little baby, as sweet as she is, beautiful as she is, as beautiful as little Lydia's going to be, and little Judah, and little Harper, and boys are not beautiful, but as whatever you call boys, Uriah and Daxon and Grayson and all these little fellas around here, amen, they're still sinners. Still sinners. Global condemnation. But then there's a great consolation in these same verses, verse 15 and 19. I ain't going to read all of them for sake of time. Here's what it does. He said, one man's offense brings sin. He said, but what Jesus done by one man brought salvation and righteousness.
Ain't you glad that Jesus undid everything Adam did? What the first Adam failed in doing, the second Adam succeeded. Think about this. Adam was in a garden when he sinned. But Jesus was in a garden when he accepted to sin dead. He said, I'll take this cup. Adam was by a tree when he plunged humanity into sin. But Jesus hung on a tree to redeem man from sin. Adam tried to rescue his bride by becoming like her. But Jesus rescued his bride by making her like him. I was really proud of that point. Y'all didn't enjoy that like I thought you would. Amen. I'm going to back it up and give you another chance. Adam tried to rescue Eve by becoming like her. But Jesus rescued us by making us like him. Amen. That's good preaching though I am doing it. Amen. Adam's efforts led to global sin. But Jesus' efforts led and global death. But Jesus' efforts led to life and life more abundantly. Global condemnation, great consolation, and last of all, verses 20 and 21, grace's coronation. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did, there it is again, much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, here's the coronation I'm talking about, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The word reign means to be a king or to exercise kingly power. There is the reigning of guilt. The law entered the offense might abound. The law entered to show you as a sinner. But where sin abounded, there's the reigning of grace. Grace did much more abound. Now I got to studying these words abounded and abound yesterday. At face value, you would think, okay, that's the same word. We're not using the Greek to correct the King James. But there is good definitions. And this word abounded, abounded, and abound are two different Greek words. The word abounded means to make increase. But the word abound means to abound beyond measure. Abound exceedingly. To overflow. To enjoy abundantly. It said sin's abounding. But grace much more abounds. Yeah. Sin gets really bad, but grace gets really good. Yeah. Well, preacher, there's a lot of sin in this world. That's all right. Sin abounds, but grace much more abounds. The other day, I'll give you one other thing, and two other things, and one other thing, and I'll be done. Did y'all get that? I love all these kids around here. So don't nobody make a scowl face when I tell you all this story, all right? Brother Day, I walked into the Brother Richie's classroom to get the change, put the change in there, and I noticed that someone had put some art on the wall with a magic marker. And Dax and Sightler were here with me. I said, hey, boys, y'all come here. And so Sightler came running in there. I said, did you do that? And I don't know who done it. I don't care who done it. He said, it's okay. And he walked over and he took the eraser. And he walked to the wall and started erasing. And if you should have seen the look in that boy's eyes when he realized, this ain't working. I mean, you could just see. He said, it's okay. He looked at them like that. That's the way sinners are. They think that by their deeds, they can. It's all right. But until you realize, it ain't working. Until you realize, it ain't cutting it. But you know what I'm going to do? Or probably Richie's going to do? I'm going to cover it up. And we'll cover it so good you'll never tell that it was ever there. But Jesus don't cover our sin. He washes our sin away. Amen? Much more. Come on, Brother Matthew. In 1910, when Brother Eric was a little boy, a lady named Julia Johnson wrote these words. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Sin and despair, the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge
the mighty cross. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can we do to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Brighter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing His face to see His face, will you this moment this grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon, cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. And straight from Romans 5, she wrote this: grace that is greater than all our sin. Let's stand together.